Is guacamole a fruit salad?
What is the best milkshake for bringing boys to the yard?
Ostriches are dinosaurs.
Don't piss off old people. New game.
What do you mean it gives you Arby's mouth?
Artisanal muck duck balls.
I think they call that auto fellatio.
I want to high five a shark.
Welcome to Bar Banter. Relax, have a drink with us as we debate the most controversial topics in the world today.
On today's podcast? On the podcast?
Talk about...
Podcast?
Creating...
Live streaming.
A global scale. We talk about creating a new Hallmark holiday. And lastly, we were given a huge budget to assemble a team of the world's greatest scientists, and their mission is to answer life's greatest question, and we get to come up with what that question is going to be. But first, the man who peruses flea markets for new outfits for their American Girl doll collection, Andrew Mullis. What are you drinking?
I told you that in confidence, Travis.
Well, now it's confidential with the world.
I'm sticking with my usual, a little bit of tequila and ginger beer, just because I was lazy and did not want to go to the market today. Richard, what are you drinking?
I'm joining you in the liquor round. Today was a day at work, and so I'm having a margarita here with a Casamigos tequila.
Yas, queen.
Delicious.
I love Casamigos.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah, that's what I'm drinking tonight. Travis, what are you drinking over there?
So I was in Jacksonville, Florida recently, and I went to the local liquor shop, and I said, hey, give me a bottle of something bourbon, scotch related that I can probably finish within a week. And the guy was like, oh, here you go. Never had it before. It's called Restoration Rye. Made in Kentucky, great state, have great whiskey. What he neglected to tell me, and I neglected to look at, is it's 107.8 proof.
Nice.
So when I first started, I drank it for the first time about a week ago, and I had maybe like 2.5 glasses, and the next morning I was hungover as shit. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of other beers, but I was drinking it like a normal 80 proof scotch or 80 proof bourbon, and
much to your surprise.
To my surprise, I was pretty messed up the next morning, and I looked at the ABV, and my suspicions were confirmed that it was much stronger, because I'm like, I'm pretty good at handling my, not at 107, and that got me thinking, we should have a global scale to rank these things.
I hate you.
Dug really deep for that one.
That was I didn't purposely buy the alcohol for this, though.
I think you did.
It would not surprise me.
No. No.
Travis went into that liquor store and was like, I need something for a bit weeks from now. I'm playing a long game on this one.
The long con, yes.
Guys, it's tornado season where I am. And there's like F0 tornadoes, F5 tornadoes. There's a new F scale for tornadoes. And it got me thinking, like, we need just a global scale. Like, I'm tired of like F0 to 5. Why is 5 the highest? But some things like 100's the highest. And sometimes like QBR goes up to 100, but quarterback rating goes up to 120. Like, let's just come up with one scale that everything can be on, and everyone knows what we're talking about. And that's what we need to solve right now.
Really quick, Travis, you said it's tornado season where you are. Like, we're not all within 15 miles of each other.
But to our listeners.
Okay, but you were talking to us.
Let me correct myself. To our listener, it might be it might not be tornado season. I don't know.
Right. To Tasty in Germany. Yeah.
Right.
And thanks, also, Susie in Michigan.
I don't know where you guys are.
I'm gonna hop out there. I'm gonna hop out there on this one.
I think we have the same answer. I don't know why, but I think
we do. So I love this word, and as
same answer.
As a shout out to one of my favorite characters, Dr. Cox, I am going to elongate a word for my standard. I love the word flabbergast.
Mm-hmm.
So for this to work, I'm going to use flabbergasted to make it fit my 4-point scale. So our 4-point scale is the lowest will be flabbergast, and then flabbergasted are the four steps for mine. So, you know, if you're only like, if you're not really feeling it, be like, yeah, I was flab. I was flab. Yeah. Flab. And then, you know, if it was like, okay, like you may not love it, but you do it again, you're like, you know, I was flabbered, you know, you're like,
I flabbered once. Yeah.
Yeah. I flabbered once. I invented
most flabber. Days are just kind of flabber for me.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of feeling it, you're like, yeah, I was flabbergasted. Or so I'm sorry, I jumped scale there. I was like, yeah, I was feeling some flabbergast there, you know. But and if you're really feeling it, you need to drop the full word.
Yeah, I was
flabbergasted.
But you gotta say it with some umption, right?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, with some conviction. Yeah. Like you weren't just flabbergasted, you were flabbergasted. Like you Yeah, there's got to be a little bit of a head whip with it. But yeah, to me, that is the scale we need. Because flabbergast is just it's a fantastic word, first of all. And so, and again, for those Scrubs fans out there, like, let's just elongate a word.
But so you didn't actually elongate the word. You just broke up a word into four syllables, which it already has.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it kind of works. Maybe.
No. But you could go beyond the 4 point scale.
You could say flabbergasted did.
You're right.
Add emphasis to certain syllables or emphasis to the entire word and even go beyond that up into
I picked the wrong audience.
A lot of different.
I picked the wrong
audience. Yeah, you picked the Scrubs audience. It's going to call you out on your bullshit.
Well, that's a bit extreme. But
this is an extreme podcast.
You're right. I'm still standing by my answer, though. Take flabbergasted because it's a fantastic word just originally, and then just break it up into four with how much of the word flabbergasted are you feeling? If you get all 4 points, like, you know it's serious.
Serious 4-star review on Yelp, flabbergasted. So Rick, I genuinely did think you were going to say mine because you've actually said mine at least once, either in the pre-call or during the recording. I'm not entirely sure when it occurred, but you said it. And the adjective to go with my unit of measurement is up to interpretation, but the low end, I have a bookend. I have a low end and a high end. And the low end is going to be no diggity.
Yes.
And the high end is going to be bomb diggity. So whatever the adjective, you could pick the adjective to describe what you're feeling.
Yes.
And then you add diggity to the end of it, and everyone knows what you're talking about.
100%.
That was mentioned the most diggity.
It was the so much this diggity. Answer is the bomb diggity.
And every diggity.
All the diggity.
I've ever.
Not just one diggity. All the diggity.
When does do you factor the doubt in yours, Travis?
No diggity, no doubt.
Yes. Is there a factor?
I think the no doubt is just the exclamation point on the no diggity.
Okay.
It's not necessarily a part of the scale. It's like
understood you.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Of like the grammar scale. It's an understood no doubt.
I like it.
Yes. Right. Like there's no diggity, but then there's like no diggity, no doubt. That might be like the absolute zero. There's zero and absolute zero.
Sure, sure.
Diggity, no doubt is absolute zero if we're going temperature. So
quickly followed by a fist bump.
Fist bump?
But like low.
Below, too low. Lower. So I'm going with the diggity scale.
I like the diggity scale. I'm a big fan. I thought that would be an obvious answer. I try to get creative, but I'm not mad.
That's an obvious. I didn't think that. It came to me in a dream. Drew, what's your universal scale?
Gentlemen, I bring to you the rainbow. This is a rainbow scale.
Rainbow scale.
It can be used as a measurement of time, distance, or appreciation.
Ooh.
Such as the last couple scales. I don't know if you remember this video from back in the probably early 2000s.
Is it the Kazoo Kid?
No, the double rainbow guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, double rainbow. Oh, man. It's one of my favorite videos of all time. But the rainbow, if you see one when you're driving and, you know, that the old story of, like, follow the rainbow to find the pot of gold.
That's true.
Or, and you can never really find the end of the rainbow. So it's a unit of measurement or something that's just out of sight, just unattainable.
Infinite.
No, not infinite, but just barely on the other side of the reach. But also a measurement of appreciation for if you see like a shitty rainbow, because you know you've seen shitty rainbows where you're like, you still have seen a rainbow, which is kind of like a unicorn, but it's only like maybe a quarter of a rainbow, or it doesn't go very far, or you're like in the car wash and the rainbow shows up a little bit and you're like, well, it's not that impressive. But then you see eventually the full spectacular rainbow that makes you believe in magic and things. Mm-hmm. So that's my scale is.
So just percentage of rainbow seen.
Yeah, basically.
But so like, how do you?
I have questions.
Yeah. Like, is that just like, oh, that was a 25% rainbow.
Well, like that was a not that impressive rainbow, but still a rainbow.
But
I want the questions.
I'm a little lost. I don't know how it applies necessarily.
It's a unit of measurement.
Okay.
Where like you can see the end of the rainbow. So you know approximately how far that is. So you can use that for distance. You would also know about how much time it would take you to get there to.
So how many rainbows would be Waffle House?
Yeah, thank you.
To a waffle, like going to a waffle
house? No, not a distance. Just like if you went to a Waffle House and you had to rate the Waffle House, how many depends rainbows? This is a universal scale. Or... like this is everything.
Yeah, so that like if I go to a Waffle House and it's a good experience, it's like a full rainbow.
Okay.
Or if it's a bad experience, just.
It's like a, you know, somebody threw some water up in the air and I maybe caught a glimpse of like some colors.
Okay.
A smattering of colors.
Marco Waffle.
I saw a diffraction of light that might have been a rainbow, but guys, it wasn't the full experience.
Before we vote, do you guys have any other scales? I had fish.
There was a lot of options, like
fish scales. No, okay.
And like we could have made it random. Travis, I appreciate your no diggity scale.
That's the only scale that matters.
Right. It really is. I try to go different with Flabbergasted, but essentially it's the same scale with no diggity.
Rick is so drunk right now.
It's true. So I like Travis's no diggity because there's no doubt with it.
There's no doubt.
And Drew's, I'm confused. So,
well, so just so
I feel like Rick would be on my level if he was not drunk.
It's probably fair, but I am drunk.
I had one. It already exists, but I wanted to try and adapt it. But it's primarily for distance, called Poron Kusima, and it's the distance you can travel on a reindeer between it taking a piss. That's literally a unit of measurement.
You should have went with that one.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
But it's only for distance. And it's only riding a reindeer.
How far can...
And the average is about 7.5 kilometers.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Rick, I'm surprised...
But it's not universal. I was just looking at...
Drunk this. Rick is a fan of this game.
Rick, I'm surprised you didn't go with... I'm going to butcher the actual name. Keurig?
Ah, yes.
Yes, the poop scale.
Yes, yeah. It was already done. I was trying.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
I was trying to go original with my flabbergasted, but Keurig, yeah, a fantastic.
It's scale. A great scale. And the only other one I had was, as a dad, would just Keurig's. Be like the stereotypical dad preferences. Like,
so one Nike New Balance, or I'm sorry.
In that vein of like mowing the lawn is the best thing, or silence might sure, be the sure. best thing, whereas like taking family photos would be the worst thing.
See, for me, it would have been like pop top 40 scale. Like, that's mm-hmm. where I would have went. Because if you would listen.
Then I have to measure. I have to memorize a bunch of different things. And
yeah, I don't want
to
do that.
It was a lot. So,
real quick, we're all good with the diggity scale?
I am 100% okay.
Cool. We're going with the diggity scale.
Because there's no diggity.
All units of measurement. All units of measure will now be in diggities.
Yes.
With that, I'm going to go pee. And this is a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Guitar Repair. Is your guitar beat up, dented, or is there dirt from the 70s still under the controls? Well, you're in luck. At Rocket Guitar Repair, Ray works on everything from acoustic and electric guitars to bass guitars, banjos, mandolins. If it has strings, Ray can fix it. With over 50 years playing, repairing, and building guitars, Rocket Guitar Repair can get your guitar repaired rocket quick. Call Rocket Guitar Repair at 678-400-3062 or visit rocketguitarrepair.com.
Do you get the shakes after you pee?
Not after, like during.
Okay. I'll not get it after. Like right at the end. I'll be like, ugh.
No, it's definitely midstream when I get it.
Okay, true.
There's no completion, like.
Yeah, I mean, to get the pee shivers.
Yeah, but do you ever like full on like go exorcist and just like crack your neck when you're doing it?
I just not like post. It's
well, not like it's like
yeah, I crack.
Last 10% of the stream. Not
no,
like,
I'm full stream.
Okay,
I crack my neck all the time, so it doesn't happen.
That's fair. That's fair. We should make a holiday about peeing.
I hate you so much right now. I refuse for that to be the segue.
Yeah, we need something better.
Why? It's perfect in every
way. You're right. You're right. Why?
It's perfect in every way.
I don't
guys,
want to ruin my answers. So.
Guys, it was there was a Hallmark holiday at some point recently. I don't know which one it was, but I think we've done like let's make a new holiday at some point, but I think we should make a new Hallmark holiday showing appreciation for someone or some group of people. I think there's just not enough love in this world. Drew shaking his head no, that there's plenty of love in this world and we shouldn't show appreciation for anyone.
Not what my Hallmark holiday is about.
He is just okay.
I'll go first
with giving anyone love. So Drew, go ahead and just shit on a bunch of people.
I'm not shitting on a bunch of
people.
Nope,
you are. It's fine.
It's so hot.
To me, a Hallmark holiday is a holiday that everyone has come together and there's a general consensus that we're going to give cards or gifts or acknowledge something. And I kind of want to spin it on its head. I want to have a National Quit Your Job Day.
Okay.
It's once a year, and there's a couple reasons why.
So the purge, one, got it.
No, it's just Quit Your Job Day. So this is the one day a year where employers are getting scared because it's coming up, and they're like, oh, who's going to quit this time? Whatever. And then Hallmark comes out with these cards that you get your boss, and you're like,
okay, I'm in.
here's my 2 weeks notice in a very fancy card that Hallmark has come up with. You don't have to quit on this day if you're gonna quit, but it is that one day of year that like everyone's just kind of on tenterhooks, like just really on edge about what's gonna happen. Is anyone gonna quit today? And it's kind of like an April Fool's Day, but you could actually just have a bunch of people going, yeah, I'm out. Bye.
So I love that.
I wasn't ready, but I like it.
I love that so much because
it's the one topic from this week that I was like, I got this.
Because my thought too, and I'll get to mine in a second, but my thought was these Hallmark holidays are very family and lovey-dovey and all this other stuff. But my idea was also slightly chaotic because I think the reason why no one really truly likes them is because there's no element of fun. It's just like everyone's kind of forced to do it. Mm-hmm. No one wants to do it. So what's something that people want to potentially do? And I like the idea of keeping employers on their heels and on pins and needles with there might be a mass exodus of people waiting for this day to just all hand in their 2 weeks at the same time. If it's one person, we could probably get by. If it's a team of people, we might be fucked. We'll see.
And they get an, like, you have to get a card for your employer.
Right.
It replaces the email of the, right. I put in my notice.
Right.
Basically, it's a formal holiday card that says, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm quitting. Sorry.
I love that. So mine, I just thought of cards and how people receive cards on these types of holidays. And I went with National Mailman Day.
Nice.
The amount of mail that is delivered by one mail person or delivery person, potentially, if we expand it to even like Amazon, like my mailman, hundreds of people in one day. Now he may have to either have to mail him something that he has to pick up and mail to himself, or he just has to carry around hundreds of cards for himself in his mail truck. Or if it's one of the walking guys, he's got to carry them in his mail bag. And he then has I want to appreciate them. So I'm like trying to be a little nicer here, but like, I also wanted to implement some sort of chaos and mischief. And so I went mailman.
I like that. The only thing I will say, Travis, I don't know if this is true nowadays, but back in the day, it was acceptable to give your mailman a gift for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's kind of covered under that.
I thought about that, but maybe other people do. And if you're listening to the podcast, let us know if that's a normal thing. The only time we've ever done it is during COVID, when it was like, this is like a, I don't want to say a charity, but like, hey, thank you for continuing to do work in person and delivering the mail, even though there's a global pandemic going on. But like last year, we didn't give our mailman a gift.
Yeah. So I mean, I live in a complex where our mail is delivered to a,
you're not giving your
mail center. I have no idea who they are, but I do remember, you know, like white picket fence, American dream back in the day, it was a thing. So I like bringing it back.
Yeah. On its own specific
where
day.
Where we have on a specific day.
And then, then it's not, it's random, or it's not random. So he might not get like if it's for Christmas, it might be spread out through like a couple of weeks. Whereas this, no, it's all coming on one day and you got to figure out a way to carry it. Hundreds of people. Rick, Hallmark holiday.
So I don't even want to go. I like y'all's better.
Mm-mm.
But like,
tell us your terrible idea.
Yeah, right, because Hallmark is terrible.
This is content.
Yeah, so I took it that route. Like, it has to be terrible. Like, it's a Hallmark, as Drew said, like there's cards involved. And it's, but they're terrible cards. So to me, it was like your dog anniversary card is the route I went. So like, it has to be like pet anniversary. I'll even expand it to pet, like pet anniversary card, like day. And it's obviously not like a specific day because, you know,
but you could make it. You could make it Pets Day.
You could, yeah, you could. So we can even take it that way. But essentially, it's like Pet Anniversary Day. So like, you give to me, like it's like basic people buying cards to their pets. Their pets aren't gonna read it, and you read it to like, you know, Fido as you give them like an expensive I don't know, dog food, and you're like, oh, Fido, it's been a year and you've completed me, blah 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 blah.
Mm. I want that
sound. I like it, Ricky. It's in the same vein as the trend a little while back of filming like your kid's first birthday and giving them a giant cake that they can just fuck up.
Whoa, that's not a trend, that's still a thing. Smash cakes are totally still a thing.
It's less so than it was, but
document.
I like the idea of having that one day when you celebrate the fact that you've had a pet for that year coming up.
Yeah, I'm all about celebrating pets. Definitely crossed my mind. So we've got pets, we've got mailmen, and we've got mail person, if we want to be politically correct, and we've got National Quit Your Job Day. I think quit your job.
Quit your job day.
That's the best one.
Yes.
Like you have to get, like if you're gonna quit on that day, you have to give a card.
Yes. I want it.
Right. And if you don't, it doesn't count. Like, and the boss has to read it aloud in front of everyone. Just like all the other shitty Hallmark holidays where you get these dumb cards. Gotta read them out loud. And I'm here for it. My only question is.
No.
I like
that. Make a bad segue. Is that what we just?
That was the bad on? Segue. Is the my only question is, guys.
What is the one question?
What is the one question? Yeah. Somehow I don't know how this happened, but we were given a large sum of money. This podcast. I don't know who. Where it just said classified. Is it Mar-a-Lago? And it just showed up with a large sum of money. And it basically just said, hey, answer a question. And we have this budget to assemble the brightest minds in the world to answer any question that we want. And so I want us to come up with, we don't have to figure out the answer. I want us to come up with a question that needs solving. And I think I got it right off the bat. And I think the question that's been on everyone's mind since like the late 80s is, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
Okay.
I knew it was going to be bad, but
that's so good, right? Like no one knows. If King Arthur doesn't know, then how do we... It's just
Travis, if I can spend 10 seconds Googling this and find the answer for you.
It's there. That's why it's not my actual answer, but I just felt like it was a really good, like
it is a good one.
It was like
that was a great segue.
That was a great segue.
It's the only time
Is that what I have to do?
Yes.
It only took like 55 episodes. I figured it out, guys. We'll have good segues from now on. I'll just use King Arthur Monty Python quotes. Got it. Guys, what question do we need answered?
I have two questions.
Mm-mm. No, you don't. You have one.
You're right. I have one, but I'm going to...
I want both.
I'm going to give you both. And I'm going to give you my runner-up. My runner-up is I want to know what the punchline to Bender's joke in the Breakfast Club is. I want to know.
Oh wow!
I'm,
wow! What a pull! What a pull! Rick.
I want to know. Like,
I've seen The Breakfast Club. I don't remember that part, so I'll have to go back and watch that.
So he's setting it up. He's like, he's talking about a joke about a naked blonde girl walking into a bar while caroling a poodle and a 6-foot salami. And then someone falls through like the roof and it messes up his punchline. Not the roof, but something. And it messes up the punchline. And I want to know what the punchline is. Like,
okay.
That's number two. But number one for me, I want to know what's in the briefcase for Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
That I want to know. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. We have theories. I want to know what's in the briefcase.
Speaking of, do we know what's in the box?
What? Fuck the box.
Okay. Like, sorry. I wanted to know. I want to establish that everyone knows what's in the box, because Brad Pitt keeps asking that question, and I think we
What's in the box?
Thank you, Drew. What question should we get answered? We have the smartest, most brilliant minds ever.
I want to know where Atlantis is.
Atlantis. Yes. Okay. Atlantis. It's about 30 minutes south of where we live. It's a big metropolitan city.
I, to this day, find it incredible that we know more about space at this point than we do about what's on the bottom of the ocean floor.
It's true. SpongeBob.
And I don't know if you guys have been following all the UAP, UFO, declassified stuff over, I go deep on the conspiracy theories. We don't talk about it much on this podcast because it doesn't really come up all that much, but I find it fascinating. And I just want to, did you guys watch the movie Prometheus? It was like the the newer Aliens movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the guy who released the dog, like the hounds? He had those little floaty drone things
that
would go and map the whole structure and whatever.
Right.
I want those. We need to develop those and just have them go in and about all over the ocean floor, and not even Atlantis. I just want to know. I want a full geographical map of everything that's down there and all the cool fish. Those were all always my favorite episodes of like Planet Earth or the like National Geographic, where the deep ocean fishes with bioluminescent things and all that kind of stuff. I love those episodes, and I just want to know.
And that's
know what's down there.
On a previous episode, we talked about which myth would be most likely to be true. And I think, Rick, you said, I think it was Bigfoot. And I countered, like, I think that wasn't necessarily my answer, but I would assume that there's got to be something else undiscovered in the ocean that is more likely to be true than, say, a land animal that hasn't been discovered. Like, a large land animal, because there might be small ones. And I'm not saying Megalodon is still there, but there's something.
And I don't even necessarily think like large animals, but the really cool sparkly ones and like the anglerfish and all of those really cool animals that we keep discovering, even giant squid, which in the last 10 decade, years even, we've had
I think more sightings of. I think there's still something. I'm going to use the word profound in a like. It alters a little bit of what we know that's still yet to be discovered in the ocean. It's not aliens, right? It's not an ancient, it might be an ancient civilization that was lost to the ocean, but it wasn't an ancient, highly advanced technological civilization. There's still something down there that we're going to find and be like, oh, fuck, that's what that was. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that lines up. This is what happened. And that it's another puzzle piece that is missing that's going to slightly alter our history or our concept of what's in the ocean. And so I like that answer a lot. Mine, I went a little bit more philosophical, I guess. I went with, just because I don't know why this plagues my mind, but I need the Theseus paradox answered. And what that is, for you guys who don't know, is you have a ship, Theseus's ship, if we're going back to ancient times. At some point, repairs need to be made to the ship, or if we even have it today, there are people, archaeologists, who are making updates to the ship and trying to make it newer or make it, keep it from corroding, and they're replacing parts. And so at some point, if you replace enough parts, you will replace all of the parts. And once you've replaced all of the parts, is it actually still the same ship? And that's the question I need answered. I like, my gut tells me one thing, but then as I like try to peel back the layers of what the that answer might be, I'm left more and more confused. And I think that's like one of those, is that the question that I think is the most important that needs to be answered? Maybe not, but I think that's the question that's actually attainable, that we have the technology today to actually answer that question, either philosophically or physically, I guess would be a good way to put it. And so I'm going to go the Theseus paradox as my answer.
I like that one. It was on my backup list, actually, Travis.
I love that. I found some other silly ones that I thought were funny. If corn oil is made from corn and vegetable oil is made from vegetables, what is baby oil made from? No reaction at all. Okay. Rick must be super drunk. If
a cat
sneezing. Sorry.
It's fair. If a cat always lands on its feet and butter bread always lands butter side down, what happens if you strap butter bread to a cat's back?
I remember that video.
Yeah, that's a good video. And then this one actually was semi-relevant, and I almost went with this one, is why do we press harder on the remote control when we know the batteries are just weak and that's actually not doing anything? What's the psychological reason? Like, we're just mashing down this button even though we know it's not making it any better. Like, the force applied, maybe the length of time is a thing, but the force applied that we're mashing it down is not making the signal any stronger just because the batteries are weak.
That's the same, Travis, of even now to this day, when I don't have signal on my phone or I'm trying to load something, I hold up a little higher.
Yep. Yep.
And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that technologically speaking and scientifically speaking, that does absolutely nothing. Still do it.
But it's here. It's here.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my brain. We do it and we don't know why. So let's pick a question. We got to pick one question. Drew, I'm going to boil yours down to just like, what the fuck is in the ocean?
Yeah, let's map it out.
As a general broad question. And I'm happy to go with that. I like Rick's a lot, but he is slightly incapacitated at the moment and can't argue with us. So I'm okay.
You're right.
You're right. Yeah. Not only is Rick's eyes super squinty, he's now drinking more, and for whatever reason, he is like a slightly red face from some sort of allergic reaction and continues to sneeze. So he's at the sneezing level.
It's just level. Allergic reaction to y'all's takes. So
come up with a better take then. That's not the Breakfast Club.
What are we talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
Rick's on that level. I wanted to put forward one more.
Yeah, go for it.
As my backup. Where the fuck are my socks?
Yes.
Where are your socks?
Yes.
Where are my socks?
Fuck, do all the socks go?
I recently, so I go through this thing of like, I buy 3 packs of the socks that I like all at once. And then 4 years down the road, when they've all started to kind of get like holes and shit, and start to wear out, I buy 3 more. This time, bought the packs, and I can only find like 6 pairs.
I do not know
where the fuck they went. I have searched everywhere.
I would actually rather go those with that answer socks than the ocean.
No, I really like the ocean.
Okay, we'll go with the ocean. That's fine. I'm okay with either one. I will say, I think that, so Drew, you mentioned, if just to talk about socks for a second, I really wish there was a way, like you can go to the store and try on shoes. I want to try on socks. Like, I don't want to spend $10, $12 on 6 pairs of socks to only to find out that now I have 6 to 8 pairs of socks that I hate.
Yeah.
Right. And I know it's kind of gross to like try on other people's socks, but like,
but is it?
It depends. Some people are really gross.
Yeah.
Some people, I'm not saying everyone. Like, I think I would, if you both wore socks right now, I would totally be comfortable putting on a sock after the two of you. There are people However, if there was like a community sock at a shoe store that you wore, I would feel a little apprehensive of wearing said sock, right? That I'm not saying like,
yeah.
So that's where I'm it's a little bit harder than a shoe to
it is the most trial and error thing that I've found in my life. And I think we've talked about this before when we were talking about like the order of how to get dressed.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But like I have the same socks, the same underwear, and the same undershirts that through trial and error, I've found that I really like these brands. I like the way they fit. I like the way they wear. And so it's very rare for me to go outside of that. And every once in a while, I'll try it. And sometimes I'll be disappointed. But like recently, I switched over from the, Under Armour socks that I'd had forever and tried out some Adidas socks. And I really like them. So I bought like three packs. And now I can
You couldn't when you tried them, you had to buy 10 of them, or I guess it's Adidas, so it's like four.
It was eight pairs.
And if you hate it, what happens if you hated them?
But like, I feel like at this point I've worn enough socks in my life to where I can feel them and know. It's more the once they go through the wash a couple times.
Right.
That's the big deal.
That's the next topic is what service is there in life? Commodity is missing in life? And I think a pre-washed sock trial service is absolutely something that's needed.
Yeah. Give me one pair. I'll try it out for a month and then I'll decide if I really like your product.
Yeah. Sock it to me. I got nothing. It's time for Last Call.
I love it.
Tonight, Last Call, we're doing a semi-classic Would You Rather, but this time, instead of me doing research or leaning on ChatGPT, I'm leaning on the Would You Rather game that was produced by Spin Master. Not a sponsor. So... and Rick's gone, so I'm just doing.
I love that disclaimer.
Yeah, not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
They didn't give us any money. I happen to have the game, and we're going to use it to come up with topics. So I'm going to just pull two of these cards, and Rick and Drew, you guys are going to tell me which one you would rather or not rather do. And that's going to be the end of it, just like we normally do, but this time. I don't know the prompts ahead of time. Everyone ready? Rick, would you rather eat out of a trough with the rest of your family like a group of pigs, or have an afro that grows whenever you tell a lie?
Give me the afro.
Drew?
Yeah, afro.
Next questions. Rick, would you rather have to brush your teeth each day with 2-year-old nacho cheese, or would you rather eat pork chops topped with a sauce made from tobacco spit collected from pro baseball players?
The first one. Whatever the first
nacho
one
cheese. Yeah. Nacho cheese brushing the teeth. Got it.
Yeah, nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese. Got it. I think it's
been in somebody else's mouth.
Rick, would you rather have surgically implanted antlers, or automatically kiss anything that is purple?
Antlers sound fun. Give me the antlers.
Yep. Drew?
Do I get to choose where the antlers go?
I'm going to say they go in your head. I'm going to make that ruling.
The purple sounds fun.
Rick, would you rather drink a milkshake made from St. Bernard slobber, or would you rather bathe daily in a bathtub coated in barnacles?
I think I'm going to take the second option.
Bathtub?
I'll give you the bathtub.
Okay. That's going to be a little sharp and might be a little uncomfortable.
It might be.
I think I could get through the milkshake, so give me that.
Because that does seem...
Just the once.
Yeah, it's just one time. Rick, would you rather spike a volleyball only to realize it was a wasp nest, or be pooped on by a flock of seagulls for an hour.
No, spike the wasp nest.
Wasp nest, okay. Drew?
Give me the seagulls, make it rain.
I'm not getting pooped on.
Rick, would you rather walk a nature trail behind a gassy donkey or only be able to eat food that is 10 months old?
Give me the nature trail, I guess.
Drew?
Yeah, flatulent donkey.
Rick, would you rather eat french fries that were deep fried in sweat or have 20-inch nostril hair?
Give me the 20-inch nostril hair.
Drew?
Yeah, nostril hair. I can pluck that.
Okay.
Because you can cut that off, I guess.
Rick, would you rather eat a block of 20-year-old moldy cheese, so you have to eat the whole block, or have a surgically implanted elephant trunk?
Give me an elephant trunk.
Drew?
That's actually hard, because I like both. Give me the elephant trunk.
Rick, would you rather have hot fudge perpetually dripping from your nostrils, so it's going to be hot, always, or receive 1,000 paper cuts all over your body?
Oh, the hot fudge.
Drew?
I'll take the paper cuts.
Okay. Last one. Rick, would you rather have your two top front teeth, so these guys, never stop growing, so you're basically a beaver, or would you rather have your nostrils and lips seal when you have to sneeze? So all of...
Yeah, never stop growing with the beaver teeth.
Drew?
Yeah, I've never stopped growing. I don't want my head to explode.
So, to not do a full recap, Drew, you chose to kiss anything purple over antlers, and if I'm just being... I'll take the antlers. There's a lot of purple things. Rick, the fact that you would spike a wasp's nest is insane. Like, no.
Did you hear the alternative? Like,
it was something about poop, because I wrote down poop. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But it didn't matter, because I was like, I'm not fucking spiking a wasp's nest.
Oh, it's getting pooped on by a seagull.
Oh, yeah. For 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's a long hour.
I can weather that storm and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
spiking of a wasp nest once, and then I can run away? Like, yeah.
Dude, those wasps chase follow you. Yeah.
That's
for miles. They follow you for miles.
Potential death for an hour of discomfort.
Unless the pool is right next to that. You don't know the setting. The pool could be right next to it. Fuck your hour.
No, I'll take the poop.
Fuck your hour. The poop. That's an hour commitment versus mine.
Yeah, those wasps will be coming for you for about an hour. They are relentless.
Unless the water is right there.
They'll just hover above the water until you come up and the... Gotcha.
Oh, I don't know what wasps you've met. Mine are not that dedicated.
I assume every wasp is out to kill me. And with like some sort of vendetta. Like mm-hmm. I, for whatever reason, slept with their mother.
We need to go to therapy.
And right.
I
just assume all of the
wasps are assholes.
Right. Whereas seagulls are just, I feel like I'm just in their way, right? Wasps, they're in my way.
Plus, birds aren't real, so...
Hey, we established that on one of the other podcasts.
It's a true fact.
And hot fudge versus paper cuts. It didn't specify where the paper cuts were. So, like, if they were just on my arms or, like, my knee, fine. But at the same time, if I had a fountain of hot fudge that I could, I know it's kind of gross, but like if it could, I could just lick it.
Oh, I didn't like that at all, Travis.
Stick out my tongue, I'm like, ooh, I got hot fudge. I'd probably still go paper cup, but like at least there's an upside with the hot fudge. But it said perpetually, so that means forever versus 1,000 paper cuts, which is not forever. So yeah,
they'll heal. Yeah,
we'll be right. Well, that was it. It's three of us. It's short. It's sweet. I loved it. We had some good answers. We had a really, really drunk Rick, which is not something that normally happens. So if you're listening, follow us on the Twitter, follow us on the YouTube, follow us on the Instagram. Hopefully by this point, I can cut this out if we haven't. Hopefully by this point, we have a sweet new logo and everything's been rebranded and we're not at episode 50 anymore. So yeah, dope stuff. And I guess I can say it too. If you want to contribute to our bar tab, there's a link in the description where you can support the podcast. We may use it for alcohol. We may use it for equipment. We may use it to sober up Rick. I'm not sure. But if you want to support the podcast, there's a link in the description. And as always, this is... Wait, I mean... Yeah, this is our podcast. And you're just along for the ride.